This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Sad news, Mike, in the sports world. Barry Melrose, former NHL player, former coach, who was a beloved hockey analyst for ESPN for over 25 years, he died yesterday. His wife, Cindy, told ESPN's Steve Levy. He was 70 years old. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2023, leading to his retirement from ESPN. He joined the network back in 1996. ESPN said this in a statement. For decades, Barry Melrose was one of the most distinctive and trusted voices in hockey. His knowledge of the game was deep. His candor was refreshing, and his passion was unmistakable. He was a foundational part of ESPN's hockey coverage, and fans and teammates truly appreciated his entertaining delivery and charismatic personality. Michael, I've said this for years. Hockey's one of my weakest sports as far as knowledge, but I think the media surrounding hockey is some of the best, and I think that started, from my experience, was with Barry Melrose.
Yeah, I think when it comes to hockey, just the overall culture, you have your diehard fans and you have people who casually watch. You don't have anything else. Yeah. Other sports you have that, and I think it goes to the media as well.
The point is that Barry Melrose kind of set that tone. It was a calculated approach to the game, but also a fun approach to the game. I know we say this a lot, but I think it's a high compliment if you say that's the kind of dude I think I could have a couple of beers with. And Barry Melrose is one of those guys, or was one of those guys. So I always loved seeing him on, explain the game well, and just a beloved media personality, but also a former player and coach. Barry Melrose died at the age of 70. Sam Darnold for the Seahawks is expected to just miss 2 weeks. Kind of dodged a bullet. There was a debate this morning. I was watching some NFL programming on NFL Network this AM, and it was debatable whether or not he was going to be ready to play by the time the Broncos saw him in, what, week six. But he had really, really good news regarding the hip injury. Coach Mike McDonald said Thursday that he's expected to miss next week's game. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter and NFL Network's Ian Rapoport. He had an MRI on his right hip Thursday morning after he was injured on the opening possession of Wednesday night's season opening game against the New England Patriots. So, good news for Sam Darnold.
Shades of Aaron Rodgers in New York, only they had a better backup quarterback.
Well, and Rodgers was also like at the end of his career, kind of, and it was like, oh, he's going to be a Jet, and he's coming out with the American flag, and it's always big, and then, bam, he's out. A.J. Brown, believed to have high ankle sprain, he's set for an MRI. He's probably going to miss a few weeks at this point. We'll see kind of how that one goes, but that didn't look good. He left the game against the Seahawks early in the third quarter. He was down for a while after the third down incomplete pass in which Drake May was throwing his direction, kind of an underthrow. Seahawks cornerback Nehema Pritchett was in tight coverage, hit that ankle, and you could tell instantly. AJ grabbed for the back of his right leg as he sat up, and he could not get up. Patriots traded a 2028 first-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick to acquire Brown from the Eagles on June 1st. So we'll see. It kind of looked like Brown was starting to get in some rhythm with Drake May. He helped set up the Patriots' first touchdown. He had an underthrown ball that he had to come back for and made a big catch, and then that led to the a touchdown pass to their rookie tight end for a two-yard touchdown on the next play. So, big news. Two big-time players get knocked out of that game, and one's going to be out for at least a couple of weeks, and the other one we're still kind of up in the air to see. Green Bay Packers running back Josh Jacobs pleaded no contest to misdemeanor charges of battery and criminal damage to property during an appearance Thursday in Brown County. He was convicted on the battery charge and fined $1,000, and the court accepted a deferred judgment agreement on the charge of criminal damage to property. A follow-up court hearing was set for September 10th, 2027. And here's what he had to say. He said, "I fully understand the seriousness of the situation. I take full responsibility. On the damage to property charge, Judge Mark A. Hammer accepted the no contest plea on five conditions. No further criminal acts. Don't do it again. No contact with the victim, supervision, counseling, pay restitution to the victims." Jacob's attorney also said in court that he had already begun counseling. The NFL placed Jacobs on the commissioner exempt list after charges were filed back in August. With Jacobs' plea, the NFL is likely to remove Jacobs from the exempt list and instead issue a suspension to the running back. Standard suspension for domestic violence cases per the collective bargaining agreement is 6 games. Jacobs is paid in full salary while on the commissioner exempt list, but any suspension would be without pay. So there you go. Interesting. Interesting NFL notes today. And boy, Mike, I tell you what did we talk about yesterday? The distraction that might come with Mike Vrabel and this whole Diana Rossini thing that happened over the summer. I was kind of the mindset that that might die down, but leave it to a loss. And that's all over the place again. I mean, I'm seeing stuff like, how is Mike Vrabel going to ask Drake May to be held accountable for the 3 interceptions that he threw? Because he wasn't held accountable for all the stuff that he was doing. I mean, those are the things that are going to pop up. And if the Patriots are bad this year, we said this yesterday, you know that we're going to point to that's a major distraction. That, and I'm not putting that on Mike Vrabel, the game. Drake May made some bad plays. But that's something that's gonna pop up. That's just the way this thing goes.
Funny how off-the-field distractions end up hurting bad teams more than they do good teams. And you're right, if the Patriots are bad this year, that off the field distraction gets some of the blame and gets a lot bigger.
Leaders of the college football playoff on Tuesday agreed to open a 30-day negotiating window with ESPN, signaling their greatest interest yet in a 24-team college football playoff field that could begin as soon as 2027. While many in the room during this debate insist this is not a commitment to a 24-team field at this time, the move does indicate that the Big Ten and SEC now agree it's worth a discussion with the event's sole rights holder to see what the value of it would be. The CFP said in a statement Tuesday, the college football playoffs has decided to move forward in its evaluation of potential playoff expansion to 24 teams by beginning a media rights discussion with ESPN. This does not represent a decision or commitment to expand, but rather an opportunity to engage with ESPN and gather additional information to help determine a path forward. The college football playoffs will provide additional updates when appropriate. The season would begin on what is now dubbed Week Zero and end on Thanksgiving weekend. Those involved in the Army-Navy game are considering moving what's been dubbed America's Game into the following Saturday instead of the league title games. The Big Ten and the SEC need to agree on the future format by December 1st if it's going to change in time for next season, because they have the bulk of control over the future format, according to the Memorandum of Understanding the CFP Management Committee members signed. If ESPN and the CFP don't reach an agreement in the 30-day period, college football playoffs can then shop the net 10 additional games to open market, but with ESPN retaining certain matching rights. I mean, I think it's going to happen. If you have the Big Ten and the SEC now saying they're good, you know ESPN's not going to. They're going to take that. All the playoff games, they'll take that. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be interesting. I mean, you're going to have a lot of teams where you feel like, oh, they don't deserve to be in, but that's all sports. That's professional sports. There's typically on any given year, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, maybe not NHL as much, but the other ones, where you kind of feel like, eh, there's two or three in there that we all know what's going to happen. Not a lot of Cinderella stories, typically. So I think it's a good thing. I'm excited about this, Mike. I think they should absolutely go 24. 2014 playoff. And we'll see kind of how they sift through that. 16 minutes after the time, after the 12 o'clock hour. Broncos depth chart is out for Monday night. Knock on wood, not a lot of injuries. Not a lot of major concerns there. And then Sean Payton did announce the Denver Broncos captains yesterday. So keep it here on the whole show. Also, at the bottom of the hour, the very first Thursday night special of the year is coming up. Mr. Thursday Night is back. We're going to go 1-0 to start the season. It's going to be a great time. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We now know the Denver Broncos captains, Mike. I don't know. I'm kind of the mindset that you just do like one captain or two. Maybe one on offense, one on defense. I don't need a special teams captain. Sorry, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't need
the punter to give a speech. Hey, guys, we're going to do great today.
But the Broncos have nine. Can you name? Okay, are you cheating?
No, I'm looking at the roster.
Okay, but you can't name. Okay, you're looking at the roster. There's nine captains. You should be able, Mr. Broncos diehard over there, you should be able to name five.
I'm going to go with Bo Nix.
Well done. You need four more.
Number two, I think on offense, it's going to be Courtland Sutton.
All right. There you go.
He might be the overall team captain.
Now you're rolling. Come on.
They've got to have an offensive line one.
Okay.
Garrett Bowles.
No.
Quinn Miners?
Yeah, but you missed one, so I don't know how.
Two offensive linemen who are?
No, you got one wrong.
Okay, so
first.
I'm
first. So strike
two
one.
And one.
Two and one. Two and one on this. So you
did
get
they
Quinn.
Have a tight ends one? Do they? Is
I can't
it
give
Evan
you hints.
Ingram?
I can't give you hints, Mike. You can't ask me to give you the answer. So you've got
no,
Bo
Nix. Nick Benito's got to be.
Mm-mm.
And Zach Allen.
Mm-mm.
Malcolm Roach.
Mm-mm.
DJ Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you lost. Let's call it what it is. You lost this.
But
this
I have
contest.
To get it eventually. Alex Singleton.
Uh-huh. Very good. Come on, you're missing the big one here.
They don't have they have to have like a total defensive back, not like two. Two.
No, who? The number.
Oh, you're talking. I thought you were saying that they were
no.
two. Pat Surtain.
There it is.
Like
yeah.
he should
Nailed
be
it.
The defensive captain. So there. So how many have I missed?
You did not
and
say.
And Will Lutz.
You did. Yeah, you got that. You failed this contest though, because you listed like 30 guys. But
well,
you did.
I was like, I was going position by position.
Okay, they got.
Oh, I missed
safety
one.
Talanoa Hufanga. He's only in his second year with the Broncos, but he's made that big of an impact. Defensive lineman DJ Jones. Another safety, Devon Key. He must be really well liked.
He's like the number.
Is this player voted? He's a backup safety. Will Lutz. You got that one right, kicker?
And by default. I mean, it's never going to be the punter. The punter is like on the give up part. So you can't have the punter go, yeah, guys, we're going to get it.
You got
now
right.
I'm going to go help the team give up on this drive.
You were right about Quinn Miners, Bo Nix, Alex Singleton, Pat Surtain, and Cortland Sutton. They were chosen as captains by their teammates. Like, how many captains do we need?
This isn't a college football roster. This is an NFL football
what
roster.
What do the captains do?
Do it like they do in hockey. You have a captain, and you have an assistant captain.
Assistant to the regional captain.
Yeah. Just do it that way. And then Bo Nix can be your number one or number two, and Cortland Sutton can be the other guy. And you do that with Pat Surtain.
No, I say you have an offensive captain and a defensive captain. That's it.
Well, you gotta have two guys, because, first guy goes, yeah, we're going to be great, the other one's going to come up and be like, dudes, we're going to be awesome. They're going to say the same things, only in different ways and different amounts of
one
passion.
One captain on offense, one on defense.
And special teams is its own thing.
That's its own.
The kicker and the punter are going to sit on the bench next to each other anyway.
Yeah. And plus, if you can't name anybody else a special teams captain, because what if they're really good on special teams and they elevate and they start playing more snaps on defense or offense, whatever. So I would go, obviously, Bo Nix is going to be your captain. I am shocked that Garrett Bowles is not here. And Quinn Miners is the guy instead. Garrett Bowles has been like the biggest cheerleader for the Broncos for a long time, especially when it comes to the quarterback.
Maybe he was like, I don't want this authority. I'm going to pass it on to someone else.
Sutton was voted a captain for a sixth consecutive season, while Lutz, Miners, Nix, Singleton, and Surtain are captains for a third consecutive year. That's a lot of players, though. Nine players. That's just a lot of players.
You have a 53-man roster, 48 day of roster. That's a high percentage.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's a lot.
We have two captains here. Brian and you.
Patrick Surtain to be the defensive captain. I was kind of shocked Nick Benito wasn't on that list, but it's not just a skill set award you're giving out. It's leadership, I suppose. So there you go. There's the captains for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's too many. Like I see the C in the little 1-star, 2-star, 3-star on their uniforms. It's like, You don't need to waste the thread.
Yeah, in captains, it doesn't mean anything like what hockey does, but none of the other, like basketball, I don't even think they do it. Baseball, do they do it? I always think the catcher's kind of like a captain or a wily vet. Here's the Broncos' unofficial depth chart as of yesterday. No shockers here. Bo Nix, Jarrett Stidham is listed as number two. Sam Ellinger, 3. J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey, Jonah Coleman, and then Tyler Bidet. Cortland Sutton and Jalen Waddle. Back and Marvin Mims, if they have three receivers out there. Then it would go Pat Bryant, Troy Franklin, little Jordan Humphrey. Tight end is Evan Ingram, Adam Trautman, Nate Adkins. No shockers on the offensive line. Garrett Bowles, Ben Powers, Luke Wattenberg, Quinn Miners, Mike McGlinchey. Backups for all positions. Matt Pert, Cage Casey, Alex Forsythe, and Alex Palcheski. On the defensive side of the ball, here's the one. I don't know if you got this clip. But okay, it's pretty basic. I mean, Brandon Jones, Talanoa Hufanga at safety. Then you got Pat Surtain, Riley Moss at left and right corner. Nickelback is Jaquan McMillan. Inside linebackers, Alex Singleton and Justin Sternad. Nick Benito's got his spot. Malcolm Roach at DN. Zach Allen at DN. DJ Jones at nose tackle. There was question as to who was going to fill this spot, the void left by Jonah Coleman, and Jonah Ellis will be taking over. Here's what Jonah had to say about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's much different, actually. I prepare the same way each week last year, regardless if I was starting or coming off the bench. So I try to prepare the same each week, watch the same amount of film, get the same amount of recovery. So I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is, and I just want to go out and put my best foot forward and not freak out, just be in the moment. God's blessed me with where I am, so just going to try to make the most of it.
Really rooting for Jonah Ellis, Mike. He's one guy I've been waiting to see. I really look forward to this opportunity for him. And again, Jonathan Cooper, really good player. If he goes out, if Jonah Ellis balls out on Monday, does that make you feel any kind of way about Jonathan Cooper's future on this team? He's on the exempt list right now.
It makes me feel even more comfortable because he will eventually come back from it, and then we'll have two really good linebackers.
If you were to circle a weak spot on this team right now, you might circle the inside linebacker position, but you're also going to circle that weak side linebacker position. In the outside linebacker position, Jonah Ellis, that's where they're going to need, because on the other side of Nick Bonito, Nick's going to get a lot of attention on Monday because you have an undrafted free agent going up against him. Undrafted free agent rookie going up against him. First game ever is against Nick Bonito. He'll command a lot of attention. That's where you really need a Jonah Ellis to pick up that other side. And I think that's part of why Nick Bonito was so good last year, too. You can't argue that Jonathan Cooper being a threat certainly made life a little bit easier for Nick Bonito. That's typically how it goes. That's a spot right now. So I think that's the one to kind of watch out for. I fully expect, I guess Riley Moss, I'm interested to see how he does. But I fully expect the safeties to be lights out. Patrick Surtain's going to be amazing. Jaquan McMillan at that nickelback spot is going to be excellent. Zach Allen's a proven stud. Surprised he wasn't a captain, too. Might as well throw in 10. DJ Jones is a captain. They like him a lot. Malcolm Roach, it'll be a big one for him. It's a big game. Uwazurike is his backup, and he got a lot of talk in training camp in the preseason. But going with Malcolm Roach to start, he's going to want to hang on to that job. It's a stacked defense, Mike. It's a really stacked defense, and they are, knocking on wood, healthy. Only starter on defense that's listed with any kind of thing is Riley Moss, listed as questionable, still stemming from the second preseason game that he had. I don't think there's any concern there. He'll be good to go. Broncos Monday Night Football going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs are still, I believe, the favorite in this game.
Favorite by reputation and by home field.
The home field is it. Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City, started as a 2.5-point favorite. They're still a 2.5-point favorite. But it's all about the Arrowhead stuff, first game of the season. It's going to be a lot of fun. 31 minutes after the hour. Michael, are you ready for the return of Mr. Thursday Night? Are you ready for this?
No.
You're not?
I'm sorry. I just can't do it. It's too intense for me.
Mike, you're going to have to put on your big boy pants at some point. You're going to have to do it. You've got to be ready. This is the big leagues now. This isn't Michael talking about Star Wars and Dungeons and Dragons anymore. This is the real deal. This is the Thursday night special. And, of course, Brian Gary, our own Brian Gary, brings the noise on these. He intros the Thursday night special. They were so good last year. The first one of the year is coming up next. I'll tell you where I'm going to go and why. Between the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are a 3.5-point favorite tonight. Game is in Melbourne, Australia. And San Francisco's been there for a week. The Rams are maybe still on their way. No, they're there. But they made it a kind of a one-stop trip. The Rams were only scheduled to arrive in Melbourne around dawn Thursday, roughly 28 hours before the Friday morning kickoff. Michael, little known fact here about this game. This is the longest road trip in NFL history. What is it, a 16-hour flight? I mean, they ain't complaining. Those flights, those planes look pretty damn fancy. I saw a few pictures and videos. Like, you got your own room, essentially. Let's get to the Thursday night special, Michael. First pick of the year on the most important game of the week every week. It's all Thursday. We all know Thursday nights are the most important, are the games teams get up for the most, teams are most interested in. It's all about Thursday night. And for this show, it's all about Mr. Thursday night.
Everybody knows that.
Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Time for Brady.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Time for Brady Hull.
Brady's back. All right.
Oh, my God, he's back again. Wake the neighbors, better phone your friends. Brady Hull is going to show you how to pick the winner, going to tell us now. Could it be the Rams?
Yeah.
Could it be San Fran?
Yeah.
Could it be a tie?
Oh, probably not, guys. I mean, it's really hard. That's not often you get a tie out of that, really.
I don't think so.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Time for Brady.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Mr. Thursday night.
Brady's back. All right.
All right.
Wow. Wow. That was epic. That was epic right there. Brian Gary on the intro. Very first Thursday night special intro. And guessing that was the dude down the hall and Tanner in the back. Very, lot of talent there. A lot of talent there in the back. It was so good. A little Backstreet Boys mix. Oh, man. That was a 10 out of 10 right there. That is how you start off the Thursday night special. Because with great power doesn't come great responsibility, Michael. I'm not responsible. Comes great intro. And that is exactly what we got. And the first Thursday night game of the season is in Melbourne, Australia. The longest road trip in NFL history. The 49ers have been down under for more than a week, adjusting their body clocks in the traditional manner. And getting a lot of fans excited about them because they've been hanging out with them. Doing whatever you do in Australia. Chase kangaroos and wallabies, I guess. I don't know. The Rams are like, Aaron Donald, you want to go? He's like, that's kind of why I didn't want to come back to you guys this so soon. I don't want to go there. Okay, I'm not knocking Melbourne, but it is what it is. The Rams said, we'll just show up around dawn on Thursday, 28 hours before we get going. Or Wednesday, I guess you could say. So we'll be fine. Is that going to help out the Niners or the Rams? The Niners have acclimated. The Rams trying to do something different. Head coach Sean McVay is convinced they can thwart jet lag and optimize their game readiness by staying home on California time. That was his plan. Kyle Shanahan was of the mindset, no, we want to get there. We want to, like, adjust to everything. Kyle Shanahan's 10th season will match Bill Walsh for the longest tenure by a 49ers coach. Shanahan's 82 regular season wins are third most, 16 behind, or actually 10 behind Joe Walsh and George Seifter. And he has the most losses as well, 67. Kyle Shanahan, maybe on a little bit of a hot seat. Is that window closing? Offensive coordinator, shocker, a Kubiak, Clay Kubiak. And defensive coordinator Raheem Morris was head coach with Atlanta last year. Big year for Brock Purdy. I think we're ready to see whether or not Brock Purdy is just that guy. He's proven us wrong when we thought he was bad, and when we thought he was good, he's proven us wrong again. And who is Brock Purdy? Still don't 100% know. Fine quarterback, I guess. Christian McCaffrey, Mike. Which birthday does every running back dread? Which birthday, Mike?
40.
30 years old. The year of 30. Okay. Not many running backs play at 40. Christian McCaffrey is already 30 years old. They got a banged up tight end, George Kittle. They got a maybe out of shape Deebo Samuel, signed a 1-year deal going back with San Francisco. They got Trent Williams locked up. We'll see how that one goes. On the other side for the Rams, Sean McVay, they're bringing in a new offensive coordinator, Nate Shielhaas. He's 35 years old. He's a former Illinois quarterback. How will that help this already pretty potent Rams offense? Matt Stafford is the guy. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Did they draft his replacement, Ty Simpson, out of Alabama? He's not even the backup quarterback. It's Stetson Bennett. Kyren Williams, the running back out of Notre Dame, they love. But Sean McVay really likes the Michigan running back, Blake Corum. Says look for him to get a lot more looks this season. And they're going to be going with a lot of tight ends, Mike. They've done this a lot anyway, but they're going to be pushing on from everything I've researched. That 13 personnel, that's one running back and three tight ends. Colby Parkinson, Tyler Higbee, Terrence Ferguson, and Max Clair. Might be a good idea on fantasy to take a look at some of these tight ends for the Los Angeles Rams. Now, no Aaron Donald, but Myles Garrett is there. And they also traded for, in the secondary, Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson, former Kansas City Chiefs. They're going all in on this season. Does it start tonight? They also have former Buff on this defense. Standout linebacker Nate Landman, who's making a name for himself in the NFL. Okay, Mike. It's tough here. Rams are -3.5. The San Francisco 49ers are going to be without Mikal Williams and Alfred Collins. Those were two big names that they were trying to bolster up this defensive line because they were one of the worst last year in sacks. They had an NFL low 20 sacks last season. Nick Bosa's back after returning from his ACL injury. But those are big, significant guys out. Dre Greenlaw is back. He was a Bronco for half a second. Now he's back in San Francisco where they don't practice as much as the Broncos, apparently, and he likes that. So he'll be teaming up with Fred Warner once again. I really like this secondary for Los Angeles with Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson. They use a lot. They were the highest percentage in this last year of utilizing six cornerbacks running out there. They believe in their DBs, and they trust them, even in run situations, to just not get blown up. This is going to be a very interesting matchup. Kyle Shanahan, no doubt, ready to just get to football because he had a really tough offseason with the wreck and everything in the head. Do the Niners pull it off? They are the underdog, but they've been living the life in Melbourne, Australia for a week. Where are we going here? This sets the tone, Mike. Mike, this sets the tone. You can feel the importance of this pick, can you not? I can see it on your face.
It's extremely important.
There it
is. You
got to start the season off on the right foot. Michael, you can't win them all if you don't win this one. Give me I like the -3.5. Los Angeles Rams, let's go.
You know, when I watch ads on TV, I always feel like they're trying to ram something down my throat.
Fourth and goal, the pinch out, Williams getting a block, cutting in, touchdown. They tied the game.
Come on, Ramathorn, what game are we playing?
What? No games.
Don't bullshit me. Let's play one of those games I keep hearing about.
Yeah. Is this the Ramit song?
It is.
Yes! That's Ramit!
A used Ram truck.
Seven plays on this drive, all passes.
Michael's woke up.
Open and dancing and prancing into the end zone goes Kyron Williams for a touchdown.
Big game tonight.
Car-Ramrod. Car-Ramrod. Get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Thank you for that. That Ramit song. The more you can find of old cheesy songs like that, the better. When the Chargers are up and we do pick the Chargers, I'm going to need Electric Slide. I'm going to need it from LaDainian Tomlinson, Michael. Well done by you, bro.
That I watched that music video yesterday, and it is just awful.
Yes.
Wait till they get to the rap.
Yes.
Like, when they start rapping, you're like, oh, my
the
God.
The best.
Lived in 1984 and then immediately died.
Oh, if only I wish we had that kind of music still. But I like the Rams -3.5, Michael. I'm Jerry Maguire right now. You're Renee Zellweger. Who's coming with me? I got the goldfish here. Are you with me? Are you coming with me?
You had me at hello?
Ah, there it is. You're joining it. You're in. Okay.
Is that the line?
That's 100% the line. Well, it's the end of the movie, but she still says it to Jerry Maguire. At the beginning, she says, I will go with you. And he says, Dorothy Boyd, thank you. And then they make greatness together, Mike. That's what we're going to do. You will always be my Dorothy Boyd.
And you will always be the fish.
12:48 the time. I'm kind of glad you didn't say I was going to be your Jerry Maguire, because then it might have got awkward. But we didn't. We're moving on. Los Angeles Rams -3.5 tonight. First Thursday night special in the books. We'll be 1-0 on Friday morning. You're welcome. We'll be right back.
You want Broncos football? Then you want Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening at 1310 KFKA.
I'm going to wrap up the whole show a little early today. We're going to have Rams Weekly presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza starting here at 1 o'clock. We'll look at all things CSU and Southern Utah this weekend, and we'll have the first installment of our Pac-12 rankings. Last year, Kevin and I put together our Mountain West rankings every single week, and now we're not doing that anymore because they're in the Pac-12. So that would be silly to do the Mountain West rankings, Michael. But no, I'm looking forward to that conversation. Fun day today. Normally, I'd say, what did we learn today? We didn't do the what did we learn thing. But what did we learn, Michael? What did we learn on this 10th day of September? Thank you, Mike.
The Broncos have way too many captains. That's ridiculous.
Too many captains for the Broncos. Don't need that many. Drew Locke might only have a week or two to show what he still has in the tank, but go get him. Go get him, killer. Still rooting for Drew Locke. And that's going to do it for us here on the whole show. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Michael Pixar on Friday. Everybody knows that. We've got a big day of setting the tone for that. And then at the end of the show tomorrow, we'll make the picks. We're 3-2 right now. Over 500 to start the season. So that's very good news. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.